Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What's wrong? What you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of me, and he was talking to Marcus and Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Wall. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, hey, hey. It's another day, another dollar. Hello, everybody around
hey,
the globe.
Yeah,
this is Tom Biscardi. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Listen, guys, forgive me, and I understand we've got Don Monroe on the line. Is Don with us?
Oh, yes, he is.
Okay. Let me just tell you this. I've been out here in the brush in Lovelock. I've been in Fallon. I've been all over. And I was invited by one of the elders to a birthday party here tonight, dinner. And you have no idea. It's such an honor to do that, and I accepted. But I told everybody that I would go online and tell you. So can you guys handle the show tonight?
Of course.
Marco and TJ, would you? And tell Don that I love him. I got the picture of the large print, and I'll call him later on tonight if he's available, okay?
You got it.
And Jimmy Boots, get that graphics done. I hope to see a sample sometime tonight. Wait until Jimmy Boots shares some of the graphic work for this new expedition, folks. I have a big press conference tomorrow morning, and one of my guys out here are going to go Marco with me, and it's a 9:30 breakfast meeting, so it's a 2.5-hour drive, and I'm going to be in the press thing, and they're giving us the whole front page and the big story, so I'll make sure that everybody gets to see and that also. As a matter of fact, it'll be out a week from today, so it'll be ready for our show next week. Listen, guys, okay. Please forgive me, but, you know, we got capable people. We got TJ, we got Marco, Bill, and a slew of others. And Don, please forgive me and say hello to everybody. I'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye. Well, TJ, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Marco. Hey, you know, I'm looking forward to this trip and actually hearing that Don's on the phone. And I know he's pretty much an authority on the, you know, everything around here about the Giants. So let's just jump right in.
Unfortunately, I couldn't
get
all the pictures that he sent there. He's got some really good ones of handprints.
Well, you got the good ones. You got
some really good pictures.
So how you doing, Don?
Well, I'm doing fine, but the pictures I sent, I hope you can post them, but you just can't do it. But Marco said you can explain them. That's all right. We can go there.
Well, Don, we have five of them. We got two of them that are the horses. We got one of them looks like a footprint, maybe a cast, and then one that looks like something's out near the snow.
Well, I don't recognize the snow. There's supposed to be a handprint from Lovelock Cave we took in 2013, and it's very important. It's a world-class discovery. It was on the ghosthuntingtheories.com program,
mm-hmm.
and it was broadcast around the world in that time frame, and it's been 6 years ago, but that handprint wasn't destroyed until shortly afterwards, but it was destroyed forever, and it's just made international news. I'm not sure you've seen it before. It's on a lot of different blogs. M.K. Davis's blog, Sharon Day sponsors her Ghost Hunting Theory show, a lot of other places it appears on, and you can find it, but I'm sure half the world has seen it. It's been 6 years ago.
Yeah, I've seen them. We just couldn't figure out how to get them up. Marco has had an issue with his computer.
I handle me those questions and answers.
No, it's not an issue with the computer. It's an issue with the phone. It's an older phone.
Well,
and the older phone doesn't take the newer...
That's okay. You can't change the facts. You can't show them. But you can explain what they are, and that you can ask me questions about it. I'll try to answer you. But the thing is, there's an education factor here that we need to cover. And the education factor is that it was destroyed by somebody, and it was a shame. So that's what the hand measured 24 inches, 24 inches by 18 inches wide. And it's an ancient giant, and we don't know the exact date back in the history, but it might date back as far as 5,000 years, possibly. And we can ask questions about this related to red-headed giants. That's why I was asked to speak on it tonight or talk about. But best to have questions asked me, and I can answer your questions if I can.
Well, the pictures that we do have, if you go to www.bigfootlive.net, okay, and you go there, and you go under... you'll go into under the press release, and then right in the almost in the middle to the right in the middle of the page there, you'll see Don's picks, and there's a PDF file there, and you click on that, and that'll bring up the pictures that we do have that I could get on.
Well, Don, I have a question about the picks. Okay, there's the one that looks like it's on the ceiling, and it looks like it's black, like black handprint. Now,
well, the handprints, I don't know how well the pictures came through. Apparently, they aren't very clear, but they should have been. I sent them in to Marco as best I could, but there are better pictures on other blogs, like the Davis Report, and like I mentioned, ghosthuntingtheories.com and so on. And other places around, but they've been around for 6 years. And I assume that most of the audience, I hope, will have had some kind of a knowledge of it. And if they don't, it doesn't really matter, but it does matter in a way because it's hard to explain something like that without better pictures. But MK Davis and I, in 2013, in August 3rd, we found this giant handprint in Lovelock Cave. I spent over 25 years going back and forth in that cave, and long story short, as possible, and I suspected to find something like that sooner or later. And we did run across it, and we called in directly from the location on location discovery to the Ghost Hunting Theories program, and then Sharon Day posted that around the world immediately. And it can't be, it's immortal. It can't be erased off by the BLM or the government or anybody else, but it was. And I suspect to know who it is, but I don't want to say the name, but I'm not certain about it, but I can't prove it. But it was a very bad thing because it destroyed the history of the United States occupation before even history was written, and it was a shame that our children are to be taught the wrong kind of things about.
Sure.
Jolly Green Giant did exist. You can put it into jokes if you want to, but there was giants on the earth in the Old Testament. You read that in Genesis and so on. Other books, many, many manuscripts have that fact out there into it. And even Native American wrote history will tell you about different ones that were here in North America anciently, and numbers in probably 7 or 8 different ones. This one was supposedly possibly named Posiamo. And if that's it's a long, hard story to tell in a short time on a radio program, but a little research on your own. Go to Lovelock, go to Winnemucca, Nevada, to the museum, and ask them about the Red-Headed Giants, and they'll throw you out the door. But you also see on the world pictures out there, there are skulls that I took in the 1970s, and they're around the world, too. And they deny those were ever in the museum. Well, I spent many times in the museum with Pansy Lee, who's the curator, back in the day when she was there. Shortly after our discovery of the handprint, she was dismissed from her job, and I'm not sure if she quit or if she retired or what, but she disappeared off the scene into, I understand, a rest home. And during the early days of knowing her back in the 70s and 80s, she told me that she'd been there for 40 years at some point in time, and that she was disappointed because being a curator in the museum, she wasn't entitled to see all the artifacts they'd taken out of Lovelock Cave back in the day in the 1900s, early times. But she did see enough to convince her that there were also skeletons that were very large come out of there, and the skull does exist on photographs around the world. I took those photographs myself in the museum years ago, and a lot of controversy about this goes on, and they don't seem to want you to realize it was ever there, and they deny the fact, and there's even they threaten you if you try to bring the fact out. It's been on the program they call Ancient Aliens, that showed those on there before. And
Ancient Aliens, yeah.
About the photographs, they're very important to verify that there's was skulls with two rows of teeth. On the M.K. Davis report, that's not the right blog name exactly, but it's M.K. Davis, and you can find it. They're partners, more or less. So he's done a lot of wonderful photography to show those skulls in detail and the immense size they are and so on, and also the skulls that are related to it, which are Paiute Indian, have been bludgeoned and killed in battle, probably, or and cannibalized, which I believe they were. And the story goes, but questions are in I need to have. I have to answer questions properly for you because it's hard to tell the story entirely just from what I'm doing here.
So let me ask you a question. So the pictures of these handprints, you say they're not there anymore?
They were erased, ratified, but right away behind us. Somebody didn't want them in there. There's a story outside the cave. A platform been built since that time, about 30 feet square. It's in my opinion, I can't say I know, but I do know. It's a fallacy to put a different direction on the cave's use and the occupation over the last few hundred years. It's probably true to a point. Indians did occupy the cave in recent times, but prior to that, back in the day, we don't know how far back, there was these red-headed giants occupied the cave too. The giants were large people in the stature, probably 7 to 10 feet tall, according to this one. He said 12 feet tall. Now, I didn't see a 12-footer, but I don't doubt it a bit because the tracks I've taken and other people have taken recently, and not too long ago, back 2 weeks ago, we got one 23 inches long in Oregon down there. And Ron Roseman's group, he's doing a good job down there, and he's only exploring, and he's out there in the area of the Oregon forest, and they had an occasion 2 weeks ago on Sunday. In fact, I was down there with them when it happened. And we have a 24-inch track from Idaho in 2006. We have one in California taken 21 inches. by Rex Havishell, and we have one by Ron Roseman, now 23, and another man I know whose name has a 25-incher, and myself a 24.5-incher. And these are several large prints that more or less validate there was giants here or still are here. As recently as 2 weeks ago, at 23-incher, was quite impressive. And it just happened that when that we found that track 2 weeks ago, we ran out of gas in the car, and we had a flat tire at the same time, and we was in the mountains trying to call out in Oregon, and we called out to some of the friends of Ron Roseman, and they were going to call back, we hoped, and also the phone rang, so it was Tom Muscardi calling, for goodness sake, and well, we couldn't talk on the phone, our phone was losing its time, and we told Tom we was out of gas, and we had a flat tire, and he thought we was putting him off, because, you know, what you think. But it's just ironic it even happened that way, but it did, and we got out of the situation. But just 2 weeks ago, as of Sunday, the V3 took that last track. And there's a picture I sent to you of a giant, I think, in the distance, taken on the desert.
Okay.
Is that visible?
I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Yes, that's a candid picture. We're not even known we took that picture, and there were four cameras took that. And that was off my cell phone, and we didn't even know we had it in a candid picture. We often take many around in the caves or outside the mountains or wherever we're at, just random pictures, and later on, surprise what you find sometimes. And that's one that really shocked us. We got to the car. It was too late to go back and check out the picture then, but we did realize we had one of those pictures. It doesn't validate a giant implicitly, but it does suggest very highly that a little imagination tells you that in the area that was at, there's not a soul around. I mean, it's miles between people and civilization. And since
way
that time, and last month ago, we was down in the mountains and area, and we had Joe Taylor from Missoula, Texas, and Ron Moriette and myself, and M.K. Davis, and we had another man with us, too, a younger fellow who's new in the game, but he's very impressive, and his name is Jones, and he was with us, and Daniel Jones is his name. He's got his own blog, too. I haven't seen it yet, but he was really impressive, and he took pictures and photographs. This whole picture I'm telling you now and trying to draw for you, it's on film, and it's been shown on the M.K. Davis blog, our recent expedition in that area. I didn't plan to divulge where. I won't tell these things because we can't have locations broadcast on radio. It doesn't work because you have you have a whole troop down there tomorrow morning and blow the whole thing out of proportion.
Right.
But, this giant thing, the giants are here. I don't expect you to believe that necessarily, but if you don't, it's your own fault. I don't expect if you're out there doing things, looking for things, you won't find them. And you know, I have to go out of years to be a believer in giants, literally, but I am now. I've found enough evidence in the last 10 years to really put the feather in the cap. We have over 1/2 mile of photographs of foot tracks with the distance between them that will indicate the giant steps and sizable feet, you know, 18 to 22 inches long. So, you know, that's pretty well hard to deny that fact they're walking around
circle,
from bush to bush, rock to rock for food, probably rabbits or whatever. And,
so, what do you think happened to the skulls, Don?
I think they were taken by some, well, my own self. I think the academics got those in their own kind of way. I mean, I'm going to put names on people, but there's one in particular that's very jealous of anything you do, and he's very much into this hiding the facts from the public that he wants to maintain his own opinion. And there's the academics also in the Smithsonian and different ones, and Berkeley, California is basically that. People, I don't want to be the only one saying this, but it's true. Our nation, our world is hiding from you so many facts. And quite why, I can't explain that entirely, but I got theories about it. To do with religion and also with monetary gain and also with real estate associations of who came first and who came second to have a dead man's hand. You know, it's a long story, and it needs a whole book, a whole dictionary.
Hey, Don, let me ask you this, Don. So the picture that I'm looking at with all the skulls in the case, it says Don Monroe across the picture. These are the skulls that you saw?
I thought, man, I handled them. I was the one that encouraged the picture to be taken, and I took it myself. And the mandibles and were all loose, and the Ray and the cases, and Pansy Lee was my friend. We worked together many times in Randy in the museum in her house. And she told me one day that her whole basement was feeling very strange because something was going down there. Well, I was looking at the cases to see this array of skulls and things. Well, there's no authority on this kind of thing, but knowing about the catacombs and arranging the bones there and other places in the world where bones are happy, and they're happy bones. So I'm not getting to lower land where I can't explain it better than I'm sure. I put the arrangement back together with the mandibles on the right skulls, and you'll notice one of them hasn't got a head with it, just a loose mandible. And the one large one, I think it's on the right hand side, memory, picture is just larger than the other, there was a federal inside of it. It has the two rows of teeth, and that one's giant. The others, the right hand has holes in them, are cannibalized, as they were children for. The story goes, they're
well,
giant,
I mean,
battle. And
these were in which museum, Don? These were in Winnemucca?
Yeah, it's within the Humboldt County Museum in Winnemucca, Nevada.
Oh. Okay.
I found them in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s until about, not the way here it would have been, but in the 90s they're still there, and I guess.
Okay.
Too, for a short time they were there. And now they disallow the whole top building. There's a sign inside the museum, like a no smoking sign, and red circle with the line, don't ask about the red headed giants. Well, how naive
right.
is that? I mean, you see that kind of sign, you're going to ask about them. Sure you are. And they deny that everywhere in that museum. There's the cases. There's the downstairs. And downstairs for people to ask to see them who had a notion about them because they didn't have them up on top. They were hard to explain for people who didn't know the story. And I found those clear back in the 70s in the museum stories. So
well, hold on 1 second, Don. So, folks, what we're talking about right now, if you go and Google Don Monroe in Lovelock Cave, you're going to see, go to images, and you'll see the pictures pop up. They'll have his name all over them, or they'll have M.K. Davis in blue or Don Monroe in yellow. And these are the ones he's talking about with the mandibles, the head, the skulls that are in the shelf. There's actually even M.K. Davis with his knife measuring the hand on the rock.
That's
so
my hand.
You went, that's your
that's
hand?
Hand?
Okay. With the knife, okay. That's
yeah,
Don Monroe.
Got a Louis knife in the case with my hands in the flat
okay.
shirt looking or reaching across there to show the width of that massive hand. Handprint left
yeah.
in the fire. That's flesh and burnt flesh. And M.K. explains it very well in a documentary on his program for about a half hour how and what it is. And there's not room here in this poem to go that far. But it is the leavings of a burnt hand, a dying giant, was burned out
yeah.
in the war between the Paiute Indians and the Associated Indians who gathered together to kill them off. They burned them out of that cave back in the day, way back.
Wow.
And the story goes they ran in two directions, toward the Reese River, and that's over going east of there. And no one's explored that very hard, but I have some. And over that toward the California, down toward Bluff Creek area, in fact.
So, Don, let me ask you a question.
Nevada,
I'm looking at the skulls, right? And you got this one huge skull. And then you have a little skull next to it. Is the one next to it the regular human-sized skull?
That's Paiute Indian.
Okay, and then the next one.
Paiute Indians on the Repentionary Act in 1999, was it? I forget what year. They gave them back to them, thank goodness, and they should have. But the giant one disappeared.
Yeah, well, the skull's three times.
They haven't found or did their tracked at all.
Huh. It's like three times the size of a normal human skull.
I can't say here on the phone, right? I do a suspicion only what it is.
Right, sure. I mean, it's obvious.
And also, I have a documentation from the museum written back in the 60s and 70s that told more story than you ever will hear from me about the detail
mm-hmm.
then of the paper, of the local papers, that describes a certain body of people in the United States who took a whole skeleton away for their ceremonies. Well, if I had to tell you who that was, I might be killed tomorrow, I would suspect. Anyway, there's are some giants existing bones, and there's two cases that I know where it could be, but one was in Carson City years ago in the 70s and up to the 80s, in fact, and it was on display, and then they passed the Repatriation Act. That vanished, too, and it wasn't an Indian. wasn't Native American, but it was Native American of some type, not that type. And like the Kennewick man was totally obliterated because of the all the trouble that the government caused on this thing and controversy. And that was not an Indian either, and it was probably the same elk. And this is my opinion.
Are you trying to tell me, Don, that... Wait a second, Don. I'm looking at these two pictures of these skulls, and I mean, one of them's a normal size, the other one's three times the size of that. Are you saying
that's
that they
right.
tried to say that that was an American Indian?
No, the one, the large one, the small ones are no doubt Paiute Indian.
Right.
Without doing DNA checking on it and having it in your hands and doing this thing, you can't prove that, but that's what they were. Supposed to be in the early days of the story. They were, you know, well known to be that. If you read Mary Michael Hopkins' book about life among the Paiutes, you'll hear all about this better than I can tell you. And she's been put down, too, as having being wrong in her writings, which is very, very bad because she was a very intelligent woman. But there's a lot of effort in the world today to destroy anything that's not considered in the box. And
right.
These are totally out of the box.
Wow.
And our giant handprint proves a whole bunch of things. And you'll gather closely, it's really something else. And
I mean,
to me, it's
huge.
One of the most important discoveries in recent times of anything antiquity, you know, you see.
I'm trying to look at the teeth on this big one. I mean, the teeth are huge.
The eye sockets are huge.
Mm-hmm. Two rows, huh? That's what I'm looking on
yep,
the back.
You notice
side.
The mandibles. Yep. I haven't got the picture in my hand or anywhere close, but from memory, it's a huge mandible compared. And it's not the same. It's just, if you know ethnography, ethnology, you study
yeah.
races and so on, and the skull arrangements, you can definitely tell it's not a Native American. It looks Polynesian to me almost. Like, you know, down in that, they got stories in World War II about the giants and the South Pacific, they have photographs and things, and I went out a bit, and I spent a lot of time on the ocean, too, down in Polynesia and Micronesia and Melanesia myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of stories, and they're just stories until you can prove them, but they fall right in place. And,
sure.
Marshall Islands has reports of them, and even current ones, pretty recently one has. You think about the little people, too, like in the Florations in the 1930s that they discovered, and they were proportion-wise, they weren't deformed or
yeah,
anything
feet.
Like that. But,
yeah, you start
seeing
tall.
This possibility, it's there.
Sure. I mean, anybody to think that, you know, well, I'm a firm believer that history has happened on this planet, and we have forgot. You know, it's what happens. You know, we have just, it just fell out of generational gaps and people forgot about it. We restarted over and we reset, you know. I mean,
well,
otherwise,
like
why would you find...
Make, Tom, you won't like the statement, but, you know, I think the public at large, a lot of them are biased and they're bigoted and they're prejudiced and they're always right. And they've been there and done that. And that kind of attitude prevails a great deal today, especially because people's education factor is going down the hill. They don't even read anymore. They just have the cell phone... dictations, and that's not always bad, but there's a limitation to what you can learn on that cell phone without knowing how
sure.
to ask it.
Right.
I mean,
you might
ask Siri some darn thing, but that's how far it goes. I mean, how do you know what to ask her after a while? If you're programmed to a certain, in a time frame, our children are programmed to a certain knowledge. I can see
right.
it coming, and that's going to happen when they can't even ask the questions that you and I could ask now because we have some knowledge of it.
Exactly.
I want to show for one reason only, just to put out those kind of signals, because people need to get out and stretch their legs and look. They'd be shocked what they can find. It's not all hidden. The government's put fences up in this whole Wild West up here I live in, and Montana, Idaho, all these places, and they're locking out people out of the forest, and they're wilder than ever. The forests are wilder than ever in some respects. Except the four-wheelers are taking care of over the country and ruining it. They're ruining all the places they go, and these four-wheelers are just tearing it all up. And,
right.
But the, place
well, the government doesn't
out.
Want people to have their eyes open, you know.
Yeah,
they want
there's
their
so
eyes
much
closed.
To learn. There's so much out here. And, you know, you wouldn't think so, but there is. And the forests, in some respects, are wilder than ever because they are locked up. And the Sasquatch
well,
called that. There's more than one kind. It's not just a fur coat running around the woods. Eugene
right.
Poole and your active, sexually active procreation animals, they can't be all the same.
Okay.
And that's just one facet of what they could be. There's more than that. There's like four or five types of Sasquatch, and they're not all relative to one area.
Tell
when you consider the Great Basin Wilderness, which is goes from Baja, Mexico, all the way to Canada, and all the way across the West, all these states involved, and they take one little place like the Great Basin Wilderness, and it has 47 ecosystems, and the water, I mean, waterways, and have and different kind of places in there, just in that one area. The ancient people didn't even know the other people were there. And there's still the stories of giants in those places that were separate, and all kind of things went on. And as the giants in Nevada were called the Sitka. Sitka. And they also called them people of the Sile. They spelled it S-A-I-L. Well, that was
Sitka,
spelled
that's
sale.
Like root eater, isn't it? I think
well,
it's like
the word
tube
sale
or tube eater.
That was an ancient ocean there once upon a time. When these giants, they say, in wrote history where people who floated in there from somewhere else. And they didn't speak the private language. They spoke their own.
Right.
And with them came people who were hairy without weapons. Now, who would that be? Sasquatch types, it sounds like. But the red-headed giants had bow and arrows, but they didn't make their own. They'd take the bow from the Indians they killed, and they'd catch the arrows in the air, they shot back at them. They were very, 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 very wild people.
Okay, so I guess you're referring to the book where the Princess Winnemucca wrote, correct?
Pardon me?
Are you referring to the stories that the chief of the Winnemucca's daughter or niece wrote?
Yeah, well,
that's
the story of those history. The whole tribe, all different tribes
right.
have the same story. The Yurok, the Utes and the Paiutes and the Shoshone Indians, the base up in Idaho, everywhere. These giants were such a, how you say, a dredge to them that they banded together to kill them off. And they killed hundreds of them. I don't remember how many it was, but the numbers was something like 330 or something. I forget what it was now. I wrote it down in my book one time. I forget
right.
the number, but it was a large number of them that killed off. And they put wood in the cave. They stacked in wood and brush, and the giants drug it in for fuel, for wintertime fuel. And they made a mistake. They the fire set the wood on fire, and it burned them out. It was the end of them. And,
so you think they got them all?
No, I don't. There was said to be some of them run from out for the cave to the east, and that'd be the area of the possibly on the map. If you get a map out of Nevada, there's Reese River, and over there is the Pinyon Forest. There's much food there. I was explored there too, and I found what I think is some evidence of possibility. And I know a lot of Indians myself, personal Indians, and they tell me stories about the different ways they believe they went and where, and over toward the Bluff Creek region, and that puts Patterson's Patty in there, but not the same. Not the same creature necessarily, but that's where they went that same way because the water did. The water flowed out of the early oceans in that part of the world, out of the Pacific, through that same corridor out there, out the Bluff Creek corridor. And you can see there's the petroglyphs all around in Nevada and other states adjacent where they even show fish nets and that kind of thing on the petroglyphs. And the water line's obvious where the actual lake. It was up across there on the waterways. And
well, you know,
anyway,
I mean,
it's quite a story. And, Nevada's quite a place, and it's overlooked because the average person tells you they cross Nevada and they're bored. Well, to me, it's exciting every foot of it. You think about the ancient history combined with it, you know. And the waterways, like Walker Lake, is bottomless and so on, and there's a submarine base down there, naval operations for submarine training in Walker Lake, for example, and like in Lake Ponderay, Idaho, the same way. It's been a naval installation for a long time for the depth, you know, so darn far down. But
so
the hardest part of being an explorer, and like I am, I'm not a Bigfooter, but my terminology for myself isn't bad. I'm an explorer. I do believe in these creatures, but I've seen several of them. And they weren't the same exactly every time. And like we aren't the same. And, they have
well,
a similar area.
Because we're all different, yeah.
Well, you can't have the same gene pool across the nation. It doesn't happen.
Right.
Every family you know has children different than other ones do. And if you think about that, in a community of Sasquatch people, it's called that one, they have to have a certain similarity, but it wouldn't be necessarily carried over into another area 1,000 miles away necessarily, or 500 miles or 200 miles. It wouldn't be the same necessarily.
Well, yeah, and you're also getting into the gene pool. The gene pool has to change and expand and grow, otherwise it'll just die out.
Well, yeah, they have to have a knowledge, and they have to also sometimes add to it. And I won't go into all that detail, but the abductions are possible in both genders. And I know of cases where it's been claimed to happen. And
sure.
You read David Plady's books on the 411 about the missing people. It makes you wonder sometimes about certain areas what takes place. And I won't go into detail, but I found one time some evidence of somebody possibly missing too that is still being ratified. But anyway, I don't know why I'm doing a good job on here for people out in the public or not, but they probably got their tongue in cheek and their eyebrows and their eyebrows up in the air. But there are giants on the earth, and there's more than one place. And not just America, it's here too.
Now, are the giants
text? Yeah, you can get a read about them.
Okay. So, on the giant side here, are they all extinct, or are they still some of them still around?
Well, the picture I showed you there tonight, that there's apparently something up there, and whatever these tracks has to be something that's tangible. So, yeah, they're still here. But
right.
You see, no one realizes until dark what they didn't realize. When you go out anywhere in the wilderness, at sundown, you can't see nowhere in any direction past the line of light. We've heard vocalizations even. I got witnesses to all these things, I tell you, that we have heard vocalizations on three accounts where something hollered back at us that sounded pretty guttural and pretty nasty in the lung capacity. And that you can't say it's an ordinary man. In fact, MK might tell you himself if you ask him. Well, I'm speaking for him, but he's not listening, I don't think, but he might be. But
he probably is.
One day in Lovelock Cave itself, he was in that cave, and I got hurt real bad. I had a broken arm. And I was down on the lower part waiting for him to get back out of there, and my shoulder's broken. And laying there waiting for him to get done with our exploration that day. And he hollered down to me about two blocks away, "Did you call me?" I said, "No." And I said, "Oh, well, something did. Something called that up there." And I don't know. That's just one story. But he won't mind me telling that. But I've got two more. I won't get into all those. But we found enough tracks in the sand and places we've gone that are immense. You can't leave a definition in sand. You leave a hole where you walked. It doesn't show a thing. Except after a wet sand, you could find one, but you don't find it in a desert like that.
No. You either see a little hole or a heel of that. Yeah. Huh.
But the giants do exist, and they're very intelligent in their own kind of way. They're street smart. Kept it that way, but they're in their own kind of way. They're supersede the human beings as well as know herself a long way. So they got to find water. If you want to find a giant, you got to go where food's at. Food and water, and they got to have it too.
Sure, sure. They have to, Everything needs that to live on this planet. So do you think the giants that left the Lovelock Cave when they were getting, when the war started, do you think that there's still some maybe bodies or bones or some kind of evidence in that cave, or do you think the archaeologists took it already?
Well, they say they have. When I first went there back in the 70s, it was a lot bigger than it is now. It was about at least 60 feet deeper. I don't know if they dynamited it or shut it, what they did to it, but I believe there's been a lot of evidence hidden. And I do believe that there was more evidence than you ever realized possible that they have taken out of there early on. And Berkeley, California, they will hate this, but Berkeley, California got a basement full of stuff down there I won't show you. And you can't get to see it. And places like that, and I may get in trouble for all these statements, but they're true. And there's other places like the Smithsonian I have no respect for. They're a great institution, but they're just that exactly, and they aren't even American owned.
They're protecting their narrative.
And I'll tell you what, they destroy anything that doesn't fit their pattern.
Yeah.
And it's my opinion now, it's all it is, but the academics today have been trained the same way. They stick with a book and they won't go out of it. And, you know, they get a grant from the government and payments and so on, and the coffee cups full. Well, you know, we are just not being told the truth. My kind of mavericks, my kind of guys out there, 60 years in the field, they're bound to have found something. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't live a conventional life. I really don't. I don't have time for a lot of things people think is important. And
Well, Don, let me ask you a question, Don.
I'm watching campfires, you know?
Okay, let me ask you a question. I think you were with me when we were in, I think it was either northern Texas or southern Oklahoma, where we dug up a skeleton and this thing had femur bones that were 54 inches long and had molars up in the front. Were you there?
You know what, Tommy, I think we should forget that and not talk about it. I'll tell you why sometime over coffee. But I tell you what, we said enough because, you know, if you remember what we had happened to that situation. And
yeah.
Mike Seale.
You were there, though.
Okay.
Then we'll just drop
it. And
the thing
about it is now, you set a curiosity out there that we can't answer the questions to it.
Right. Right.
There really are no answers to that right now.
Yeah, that just always sticks back in the back of my mind.
It was an important discovery, and it really was. And anything to do with it, has to do with that, should be very carefully scrutinized before it comes out.
Because
I'm talking on the world right now, so they hear this. But I mean, it's just a hidden factor that, you see, that creature may have came from Africa.
Okay.
If it did, how did it get here? Well, the history of navigation in ancient times across the Atlantic isn't that hard to get to the Gulf of Mexico. Isn't that hard to sail to Mexico to a place like Galveston? Galveston, to walk up that far is not that far or any that far away. And if you had more than one of them with you in Ohio, say, and that creature was also buried in such a way that it was also a renegade. It was not a natural burial.
No.
Had no artifacts with it, the happy hunting ground kind of thing. It was buried face up and smashed in face and missing hands and feet and so on. This was, now I've got people curious. Well, this was really what the discovery was. It was swept under the rugs. It was too bad. It really was too bad because it could have been a big, big thing. And I believe myself it was because of real estate.
I agree. You know,
they didn't want
it's all
people
about
to
real
have
estate.
To dig around the corn patch, you know what I mean?
Yep. Nope. I
it happened in a lot
like
of places
said,
in the world that I know in Hawaii is that way too, a lot of places. And
you know, they pretty much have kept it where you can't do anything without the government jumping in.
I'm surprised you brought it up. And I'm glad you did in a way, but
well, my memory popped in and I was just curious. I think I remember you were there. That's all, you know. We experienced that together. Yeah.
You got a lot of future, haven't you? But that's a feather in your cap to put there and not to get out too fast.
Yeah.
That discovery was, I didn't keep track of it when I was supposed to, I guess, but I did.
Well, it disappeared, you know, cease and desist.
Well, you know, the one they want to talk about real quickly here is Iceman, the Wisconsin Iceman. That's the one that no one seems to talk about much, but that was a major discovery and a major tragedy of disappear.
Uh-huh.
And it happened right behind Patterson film in just a few months, and Isaac Sanderson claimed that was probably a relative. I don't know, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
So there's a lot of things hidden from us, and when you find borders of countries like Canada and the United States, and you get controversy you can't handle.
Ain't that the truth?
Politics and revenue and one of these can really make a mess of things.
Ain't that
the
truth, Don?
The fact of the matter is, we've got to learn and to encourage the young people out here in our program here. There's a whole world out there of archaeology and anthropology and the little other subjects out there to discover yet, treasures even that have never been found. It's not been done. Schools teach the kids nowadays that don't been explored. It has not been explored. It's been photographed.
Right.
It's being more all the time from these drones and so on. But as far as walking across the territory and finding another hole in the wall, there's still enough holes in the wall for all. There's still places to go and find things.
I agree.
The problem is
our
laws are changing. The policies that are ridiculous and all those things. And And it's time for a few good men to step up and change some things here, you know, good people.
Right.
And it's not happening because they're getting docile. Even the dogs don't fight anymore. You notice that? The world dogs fight in the face. A dog follows a master's lead according to personality. I mean, I'm beginning to think that the animals out there, the bears have turned nocturnal. They used to be out by daylight all the time, not anymore. Just for a short time. They go, the world's changed so much because of our intervention, you know, moving into them, cutting down the trees and lugging out the freeways and all these things that wreck the whole place. I mean, I'm not against progress to a point, but we got too much of it.
When it takes away from rational thought and exploration, then there's something going on. You're right.
Yeah, they don't want us to have the real truth. And we're going along places here fast with not many answers, but even Area 51, as controversial as it is, there's things there and there that I won't go there, but I know that it's happening around in the vicinity of there. Mm-hmm. And
that's all out there.
That's up to a little bit.
Hmm.
Well, I don't have the answers for all of this thing, but I've seen enough to know that there's a lot of wonders out there are still aren't solved and haven't been found.
And they don't want it to be found or solved because that has thought, freedom of thought and, you know, rational thinking and people going out going, I wonder if, you know, they don't want people like that anymore. They want sheep, you know.
You know,
I mean,
the way a man became a modern man is simple in my estimation. You know, like, go back in time, let's just have some fun here. You know, like Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon man mm-hmm. and go back to the Homo erectus. Well, they perished because it didn't go overnight. It didn't happen overnight. But they did perish because an ancient man was ate the obvious thing around handy and ate the opportunists or what there, and then all of a sudden he had no imagination until it developed itself to imagine how to get more and how to progress to seek and find more of those animals to eat. Well, modern man evolved because of his intelligence and his imagination. Well, the old people in the ancient times called them that. They were people too of sorts. But they didn't have quite the imagination to develop a mind, a brain. Aeons of time. We don't know what the aeons of time amounted to, but they did do that. And the land bridge is overworked. It wasn't always visible. They didn't all come across there. They came by waterway. They came by beaches. They wandered on the seashores to North America. All kind of ways they got here. And Columbus was a latecomer, and he has his credits, and he did a great job. But, I mean, I read the discourses of Columbus, both books, and they're wonderful. But he wasn't the one that we have to give credit for discovering America. He really wasn't the one.
Right.
There's so much here to go into that I get that long, my long, I guess.
You know, Don, we could do a whole other show with you on it. And, you know, I'd love to. If, you know, in the next couple of weeks you've got the time, we can divulge more about it.
I got the call, and you said you want to talk about the Red Hat Giants. I didn't know what you had planned, really, but... there's a lot more to that story than I told you. I've been shown petroglyphs in places I don't even tell about because I told them I wouldn't, and now the Indians are dead now. I promised that to, but I still keep the promise. So I was shown another place in Nevada where I've seen the skeletons myself. In a place in the underground, and they were standing against the wall and falling down and so on, but they were probably the same people, and we didn't touch them. We were allowed to take pictures. I promise I wouldn't go back and ever have. And, but there are another place or two here around Nevada where those giants were incarcerated. They would really put buried and so on.
Right. Well, and, you know, Don, I want to thank you very, very much this evening for coming on and sharing the knowledge that, you know, you have to get out to other people because their imaginations are dead. And that's why they're tuning in and listening, because they want to understand. They want to hear more.
You're up there in the deserts and you do it right. Pretend you're a giant yourself and have to survive. That's how you're going to find them. And go find their waterways, the place they drink water. And follow the donkeys and the mules are still alive out there, the turtles in the Wild West. They're still out there, part of them. And they're taking the water holes.
Okay.
And you find the water hole, you find tracks. Find tracks of everything.
Okay.
And that's how you'll find the giants. And then find the caves they live in and the places that are habitable, or they are out there.
Okay. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry to break in, TJ. We got another guest. But, Don, I wanted to ask you if later on, I got an idea about, like, you and MK Ron Moorhead, and maybe have kind of like a panel with the about the redheads and have a discussion panel on it at some time in the future.
Moorhead would be all right too, and I had Moorhead in with me in the cave. I took him and Joe Taylor as witnesses to that handprint because only four people in the world have ever seen that except the ones who destroyed it. And I did it purposely. Moorhead flew in from California, brought Joe Taylor from Texas, and I met him down at the airport there at down at Lovelock out in the desert. And we went down and we even made a cast, upright cast. It's nearly impossible to do, but I'm a caster also, and Joe's a real fine caster. And we got it accomplished. We got a cast of the handprint impression, which is nearly impossible to do in an upright position. It took us 9 hours to do it. But anyway, I still have my copy. We all got one. But you can't see it unless you turn the lights off in the room and put a flashlight on it and see the definition of the, how you say, rolling terrain. You might say, Gino Lollobrigida, kind of like that across there. You got to see the rise and fall of the. But we have that cast yet, and I don't know how to display it better to see it, but there's ways. And I'm not expertise there, but I need the horse today from Wave. Anyway, so my...
Okay.
The giant story is fantastic. It goes into detail more in the possibility. I found some artifacts in the museum of Pansy Lee that show the Gaelic possibilities with them. Gaelic means, from the European people that had pipes. They smoked a certain way with a hole in the bottom. They were found in the cave. But a lot of things they found in the cave that were in the cave of European descent, and including the red-headed giants in their hair, was blonde and red.
And it's been a great time, but I have another guest that I have to get over to, and we'll get back with you, and we'll talk again. I want to say thank you for coming on tonight.
I'll consider that kind of thing in the future, yeah.
I appreciate it. We'll definitely talk a little bit more, try to get something else with the three-headed giant. Thank you, Don. That's Don Monroe,
all right,
folks.
Thanks, Don.
Adventurer, Bigfooter, and all-around explorer. Folks, we got about 8 minutes left. Sorry about that, but, Mr. Don Monroe has a lot to say. But we're going to bring in Margo for the next 7-8 minutes from North Dakota, who's had some action going on. Margo, how are you this evening?
Hey, Margo, you're on. Oh, no, you're not. Excuse me, I hit the wrong button.
How are you today, Margo?
Pretty good.
Good to hear
your voice.
Wow, wasn't that exciting about what Don was talking about?
Yep. Yep, sure was. I sent some photos, more photos for you to look at, and I was looking in that area where we seen the hairy creature on our trail cam there, and I was looking at it a little bit better, and it kind of looks like a lip to me, and like almost like gorilla looking when I was looking at it, and then I walked where the camera took the picture, and it was pretty squished down there. It was like, it's a large area that was pushed down where we had a lot of tall grass there.
Right.
And, yep, and then I believe when I took those pictures, I was just out walking, and I discovered the pictures of the feet in my garden area. And, there was some that looked smaller. I'm starting to think there's a family around our area. And just the other day, my granddaughter, we heard this big, horrible growl, just loud. I had my bedroom window open, and it was loud. It was almost like it was in the house with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, when we looked out the window up the hill, we could see the trees shaking, literally shaking and moving like something was huge up there shaking them. And we were, you know, I was wishing we would have had my phone again to catch that. I would have sent you a video of that. But if I could catch anything like on video, I'll sure send it to you. And then I discovered more busted branches in our area on that one that I just sent you yesterday. That's probably about 9 to 10 feet tall where it was busted right off. And that's just right probably about 100 yards from where we live, from where we are, not right on our road there. And we found more busted branches up on top of the hill where the trees were shaking.
Uh-huh.
So whatever it is up there, it's quite big. It's huge. And like I said, the growl was so loud. And then I thought it was, the last time I thought it was a piece of board it took. Well, it actually ripped off our rain gutter on my house when
Wow.
we had the activity out there before. Yep, it ripped it off, and it kind of looks like it pushed some of my siding away. And it's quite tall. Our house is where we are. It's pretty high. And where it just looks like it ripped the rain gutter right off when I heard the big bang and things in my room, and it was on my side of the room, and we found that in the trees. So this thing just keeps raising heck with us, I guess, in our area and around our house. And the closest I think it got was like 15 feet from our house. It probably was closer before. Like I said, there was a big... it blackened out my back door, so I don't, you know, it probably was closer, you know, up on our porch before, but it's kind of getting scarier, I should say, with this big thing around, and
right.
I'm starting to think that with the footprints, one was a lot bigger than the other one was. The other one was like, I think, 17 inches by 3.5 maybe, and then the other one was like 20 inches by four inches wide. So it was pretty big. But these were right in my garden area, I discovered, I think, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, when
mm-hmm.
I sent you those pictures. And then yesterday is when I discovered, because I go down our road all the time, and that's when I discovered those busted busted trees, I should say, right on our roadway there. And I got out to look to see if I could see any footprints or anything, but there's a lot of leaves where we're at, so
there's
I didn't
no
really want to go in any further. Excuse me?
So there was no definition of the footprints because of the leaf litter?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope, I don't.
Wow.
Yeah, but... that's why I said I don't know what could have busted the tree like that, but we do hear, like, trees busting all the time. And,
well,
the
is there high wind?
No
okay.
high wind or anything. So it's kind of boggles us, you know, baffles us about that because of the way, as big as those trees are, to be busted like that, it's impossible for the wind to do that. They
sure.
were fresh. They were, you know, they were good trees. They're in good shape.
Looks like they're
trees
birch.
And,
yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep, pretty solid. Yep. You know.
Yep.
Well, you know, Marco,
solid,
you know, you got all this happening up there, and. You know, I think you're probably the hottest spot in the nation right now, besides down in the Georgia, Alabama area. It's it's the time of year where the creatures are out. They're moving. They're hunting. They're playing. They're possibly making new babies and, you know, looking for food at the same time. So we always enjoy having you on. You know, we're going to come up and see you as we get it there. And I wanted to thank you for coming on, and our other guest, Don Monroe, for his wonderful dissertation on the red-haired giants. And we're going to, folks, try to get all three of them back together sometime here soon, and we'll have a little longer show and talk more about it. But, Margo, I want to thank you again for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Okay, thank you.
You have a great evening. Well, folks,
okay,
that time of evening again.
I thought maybe we could say goodnight to each one of our listener guests. Is that okay?
Go right ahead, Marco. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Don's on there, and let's see. We got Jimmy. Jimmy Boots. We got Doyle. Here we go. Jimmy Boots. Doyle.
Hello.
Hello.
And
how's everybody
we got
doing?
Swede.
Good evening, everybody.
Good
Rocky.
Evening, Swede. Nice to hear from you, buddy.
Hey,
Rocky.
Y'all. Hey,
Rocky. Good to hear
hey,
from
man.
You, buddy.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, this was a good show.
Bell County. I've got 4 sightings in Bell County and 4 Mile, Kentucky in the last 2 weeks. And I went down there, and I've got all kinds of stuff going on down here. And the migration period is perfect for Kentucky right now. It's awesome. Rocky, you got to come down here and bring some egg gourmet pizza with you.
I would like to, but right at the time I've got a broken arm and a broken shoulder, so it might be a few days before I get out.
What happened to you, Rock? No, not the Rock.
Well, it's not a good story.
You wasn't fighting them bears, was you, Rocky?
Do what?
I said you wasn't fighting them bears again, was you?
I'm sorry, your phone's breaking up.
You
no,
wasn't fighting
was.
The bears again, was you, Rocky?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You
I
go,
know
big
you wouldn't let a bear get the best of you, Rocky.
I didn't say got
the
best
video.
Of it, just
you whip a bear.
Well, it was a good show tonight. I enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it too, Rocky.
But
I hate to hear that
mind.
You hurt, Rocky. Let's let everyone let Rocky, who's one of the senior people on the team. Everybody, Rocky, would you tell us how you got hurt?
I stepped on my wife's exercise ball on the way to the bathroom.
Yeah,
I just wanted to let everybody come on and just kind of tweak in. I think we could thank Don Monroe a whole bunch. Every time I seem to I listened to him. I learned about 10 times more than I thought I knew before. God, he's had so many experiences and things and so much information in him. Good God, I wish we could capture it all in a book. But good night, everybody, and we'll see everybody next week. And we'll keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, my Bigfoot team.
Take care of yourself, Rocky.
I'll do it. Here we go.
Yeah.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're falling together.